Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a free 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/soulawakeningpodcast. Again, that's audibletrial.com/soulawakeningpodcast. And if you're interested, on soulawakeningpodcast.com, under the gifts tab, we have a reading list of some of our favorite books, which are all available on Audible, along with the link to receive your free download. And separately, if you write us a review on Apple Podcasts, screenshot it, and then email it to us at soulawakeningpodcast@gmail.com, you'll receive a free 15-minute guided relaxation meditation in return. Thanks and enjoy the show. Hi, and welcome to the Soul Awakening Podcast. I'm your host, Kat Fowler. Today we have on the show Yano Kelly. She's a transformational coach and the voice behind Yano Kelly Speaks on Instagram. So as a transformation coach, Yano uses her gifts of clairvoyance, clairaudience, clairsentience, and claircognizance to assist her clients with permanently transforming their lives. In 2009, Yano experienced her own journey towards transformation and healing through spiritual intervention. After dealing with a bout of depression and suicide for 3.5 years, she experienced a turning point which led to her transformational healing process. Upon realizing her complete healing, Yano discovered and honored her spiritual gifts, which she uses to help transform the lives of others. Today, Yano is a respected transformational coach, teacher, spiritual guide, and healer. Okay, so thank you so much, Yano, for coming on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
So I'm super excited to interview you because the way that I found you was really intuitive. So I was very guided to speak with you. And it was really just through an Instagram comment, and we're going to chat about that later, about a really deep part of your spiritual journey. So when I clicked on your Instagram and I looked at some other interviews with you, you had a really amazing, powerful life story on what kind of set you on the spiritual path and how you followed that. So can you speak to the listeners about who you are and how you got to where you are on your spiritual journey and how that all started?
Sure. Well, I'm Yano Kelly. I am now a transformation coach. My journey started in 2009. I was driving to work. I was in corporate America, working in the oil and gas field in accounting, finance. And literally, I pulled up to the parking garage and I put my vehicle in park. And before I knew it, I broke out into this cry. Like, when I tell you, it was one of those hard cries, and I had no idea why I was crying. It was just like I was crying. But in the midst of that crying, which seemed to me lasted for like 15 minutes, my life started flashing before my face, like things that I was taught, things that I had done, just all kinds of just pictures, which is, I was in a religion, I was a Christian. And so sermons that I had heard, just things were just flipping. And when I woke up, when I came up out of that cry, literally my eyes had like this, it's like a shade that was on it. It was like everything was in HD. Mm-hmm. It was crystal clear. Everything was crystal clear. And at that moment, the first call I made was to my mother-in-law and said, oh my gosh, I get it. Now, lo and behold, I didn't know what I was going to have to go through in the midst of that. And that started my awakening, literally. It was like I had this knowing, these gifts started coming in where I could see things and know things. And then I slipped into this dark place in my life coming out because I really wasn't understanding a great deal of what was happening. There was no one around me that was going through what I was going through. So in between 2009 and 2014 was really a struggle. And I went into a depression. I was suicidal. 2014 was finally when I said, you know what? I can't keep fighting this. But it was, everything was, every awakening. So in 2009, I had literally, it was just this presence that fell upon me that led me into the cry. So it was a spiritual intervention. And in 2014, it was another spiritual intervention, because literally I was in a place where I wanted to die. And this voice, this loud voice came and was like, no, it's time for you to walk into who you really are. And really started showing me that this life wasn't really what I thought it was.
Mm. And so from that moment on, how did you change your life path with work and just with the people you were around? Because that's a whole journey on its own.
Yeah, I was at work one day and literally I heard this voice said, quit your job. And I was like, quit my job? At the moment, I was the only one working between my husband and I. Mm. And I was like, quit my job? I can't quit my job. Like, this is all I know. And then I heard, take your kids out of school and homeschool them. And I was like, oh, no, 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 I can't do that. And literally in the midst of me saying, no, 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 I got a call from the school saying my daughter got stabbed in the hand with a pencil.
Oh, no.
And I knew it was just, I just had a knowing, okay, I really have to do this. Mm-hmm. So I started typing up my resignation right there on the spot. I started typing up my resignation and I told them that I'm going to be quitting. I was giving them a month notice, literally. Wow. I typed it up. I turned it in. They were like, okay. And then I got back to my desk and I heard this voice say, I didn't tell you to give them a month notice. No, you need to quit. And I was like, but I have to get everything situated, because I was thinking, you know, I have bills. I got to make sure that, you know, I pay mm-hmm. off a couple of things. I was just trying to make sure I set things in place. And the voice came back in a sternness and was like, I didn't tell you, Gib, you need to quit. You have a week.
Wow.
And I didn't do it immediately. I went home and I told my husband what I heard. And he was like, you have to do, you know, you have to, if that's what you're being told, you have to do that.
Oh, that's amazing.
And he went and got a job. Literally was planned. He went, got a job. And then when I got home that evening, my son came home and said that they were trying to initiate him in a gang. So I was still struggling with the homeschool because I knew nothing about homeschool. Like, I'm mm-hmm. not a, Mm-hmm. For me, I felt I wasn't a teacher, but mm-hmm. Lord, that took me on a whole another path as well. But I did it. I went back to work the next day and I apologized for giving them a month notice. And I told them that I was quitting at the end of the week.
I like how pushy your guides are. They're like,
they really are. They're stern and they kind of like, which is different from what I hear other people uh-huh. tell me about their guides, but they really are on me. Like, this is what you have to do. There is no, it's almost like I'm not giving a choice, which is really weird because, you know, they talk about free will. Mm-hmm. But for me, I feel like I don't have that free will.
Mm-hmm.
And if I don't do it, then literally it's like everything falls apart.
Right. I know what you're saying. It's almost like the instant karma that happens. And yeah, and it's like we technically always do have free will, but if we don't follow what we know is the right path, then this existence will not be worth it.
Exactly. But yeah. It's kind of like either we can do this, it's like this is what they tell me. We can do this the easy way or we can do this the hard way. They tell me that we can do this the easy way or we can do this the hard way. Which one do you want to do? And I always choose. Now I'm in a phase where I choose the easy way. Let's do this the easy way.
Mm-hmm. So what happened when all of that, you gave in your week's notice and everything was still kind of in flux?
I still struggled for 3 years mm-hmm. because I worked all of my life.
Mm-hmm.
So to not be working was very hard. I took my kids out. I did. I homeschooled them. Literally, it was like I just had to walk into it. So it was like I was guided to go to a website to look up their curriculum. I did it. I did everything. Like, I was really led. My guides really gave me step by step what to do. I did the homeschool. That was a challenge because my children had been in school. They were 7th and 8th graders, and then I had a 3rd grader. Mm-hmm. And they were accustomed to school, so for them to not be around friends was very challenging. So what I didn't realize was that they were lacking. They were lacking. It was a lot of things they didn't know. Their self-esteem was so low. I really got to know my children. And it's interesting how you don't realize between work and you're getting home and you're sending them to school, you don't really know them.
Mm.
And I realized that and I cried. I had guilt. I was like, oh my gosh, I don't know my children. Mm. But I used that year and a half because I did. After a year and a half, I was released to send them back. But I think it's because of their will to go back. Mm-hmm. They really mm-hmm. wanted to go back. And they set that. It's interesting how even our children would set motion for things. But they really wanted to go back. But when they went back, they flourished.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, in a lot of Eastern beliefs, there's this belief that we pick our parents. We've picked the people that we decide are going to be our authority figures and our parents in our life. And so thinking of it that way, it's kind of an amazing thing that you have these children that picked you as a mom who has all these gifts and this connection to spirit and is going through this journey. And I think that's very much for a reason. It's such a blessing, I think.
Yes. But in the third, when they went back to school, that gave me the time that I needed for myself because I feel that was a year and a half. So for 2.5 years, another year and a half, I still struggled. Like I was fighting it because I was looking at everything physically. I was used to my own money. I wasn't able to do a lot of things. Now we were down to one income, which wasn't as much as I was making. So it was a lot. And then finally, the turning point was my brother. My brother did a murder-suicide. He killed his girlfriend and killed himself. Oh. And that caught my family off guard. And literally, how I handled that was 6 months prior, I was going through this teaching of peace, of how to be peace and how to stay calm. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know that was my superpower, but calmness is my superpower. And I was being prepared for his death. And I had no idea till the day that it happened. And everybody was like, you're so calm. But at that moment, and I've heard that in trauma, when you're traumatized, it's almost like you step back, even though you're in your body. You step back and you become an observer. And that's what happened with me. It was like I couldn't have any, all of my emotions were blocked. Mm-hmm. I had to step back and I was just observing because I was at the scene, the crime scene, and I was observing and watching. Everything slowed down. It was in slow motion. Like, it was like, pay attention. My spirit guides was like, I need you to pay attention.
Wow.
I did an interview and had no idea that people were in the, like after the interview, I was running into them. I was like, hey, you were that girl that was on the news with the brother. And I was surprised how calm you were. And I was like, what? Like, it was really, wow. People are like, just speaking how I handled the whole situation because I had all the other side of the family, you know, was yelling at me and they were spewing a lot of hate. And it was even on social media. Mm. And one of the ladies inboxed me. She was like, how are you so calm and so loving? And I said, it's all about understanding. They're upset because of what happened. And me being angry or lashing back is not going to solve anything. Love conquers. It really did. And it was amazing because even after that, a week later, those same people that were bashing came back and apologized.
Mm-hmm.
But literally, that woke me up. And I said, this is who I am. And at that moment, I said, I accepted the journey. I said, yes. I'm really ready to do this. I'm tired of going back and forth because that's what I was doing. But I'm like, I'm really ready for this journey. I know that I'm more spirit than I am physical. And that's the part that I wasn't understanding. But going through all of these different experiences, like being suicidal, my brother's death, going through a lot of hardship, it really did awaken me.
Yeah, and that's usually how it happens. It's interesting because like, let's talk a little bit about just the healing journey, because a lot of people, I think, when they start to wake up, it's usually a traumatic event, or they're so disillusioned with what's going on in their reality and they can't take it anymore. And then they know that they have to make changes. And then for those of us that are stubborn, like me, and I think you too, we like don't listen. And then it gets really bad before we actually are like, okay, I guess now I'm going to have to start taking and making changes and stop running from what's really the destiny that I came here to fulfill, or the life path or my mission that I knew as a soul before I entered this body, that this is what I was supposed to do.
Bye.
Yes, my spiritual awakening happened at many different times in my life. The most powerful one most recently. And I like healing is just never stops. It's just constantly. Yeah, you're just constantly shedding these layers and it just doesn't stop. So what's your opinion on that and your journey when it comes to healing?
The healing part has been the most painful thing that I have ever experienced. Not even my brother's death was that painful. Mm. And I know, and going through my healing, I really understood why people choose to stay where they are versus going through the healing, because it really, for me, because I know different people go through different phases. I was healing not just this lifetime, but I was also healing past lifetime.
Oh, yeah.
There were things that were popping up that at first I was like, I don't remember that. I don't remember that. And then it was like, my spiritual guides was like, you're healing different lifetimes. And not only that, I was healing also generational things that happened from my parents. And it was, you're right. It doesn't, I don't know if it ends. I can't say that, but I know it's slowed down for me. I can feel more, I'm more clear now. But you really, when you set out to do healing, you really have to have that attitude. 50 Cent has a saying, get rich or die trying. My thing is heal or die trying. I literally had to have that mentality of, I knew I could not skip that process. If I wanted to fulfill my life mission, I knew I had to go through the process of healing. So I really mentally, I had to prepare my mind, and I had to say affirmations to prepare myself for the process.
Yeah, because it involves so much courage. I think it's that, it's like the shadow work that, especially in the spiritual communities, a lot of people like to bypass that because they say it's negative and they don't want to focus attention on it. And it's like there's no way you can evolve without seeing that side of yourself and transmuting it. There's no way, and befriending it. And there's so much courage that you have to step into that place of unknown. And also, like you said, just so much pain that you've repressed your entire life, especially like in my case, I had a lot of very early on and really my entire childhood trauma. And so a lot of people that have, you know, the childhood trauma, a lot of that's really deeply suppressed. And then that surfaces as anxiety or panic attacks or whatever it comes out, PTSD, like, because it's going to come out if you're going to start doing this work.
Yeah.
It's the courage.
I experienced as well I went through physical and mental abuse as a child, and you don't realize how, as you going through your years, you suppress it. Until you get to the, really it was coming up, I just kept suppressing it. But when I really started to do, like you say, the shadow work, when I really said, okay, it's time for me to heal, I had no idea that I was dealing with abandonment and rejection issues. And it was like the universe was sending people to tell me, hey, and I was like, no, I don't have those issues. And then finally, my sister texted me one day, and she was like, you have abandonment issues. And I was like, you're talking about somebody else. And literally, a day later, my spirit guide says, no, she's talking about you. You really, but I didn't know those things were really hidden. But during the time I was praying, wasn't realizing it, because I was saying prayers. Like, you know, my prayer was, whatever's hidden in my heart, anything that's hidden in my heart, you know, please expose it and show it to me. And things were coming, and I was just rich because I had no idea that those things were deeply embedded in me, were hidden, which explained all of my relationship and even in my marriage, you know, just the fear of my husband walking away from me, and even with friends. I didn't realize that I had this fear. That's why I was just doing things to please people, because I didn't want them to walk out of my life. And that was because my mom walked out. And I didn't realize I had suppressed all those feelings.
Yeah, it's so powerful, too, to come to these realizations. But let's back this up a little bit for people that have no idea what we're talking about. So when you first, because we're on the same page, but if you've never heard these kind of conversations, when you first heard these voices, how did you know that it was your spirit guides? How did you know that it was a positive, loving connection? And how did you really start to get in touch with your guides and your intuitive gifts in that way? Because that can be something, if you've never experienced that, you're like, what is going on when you first start hearing these things?
So most of my life, I knew I was different. Let me just say that. I remember telling my sister at a young age, I just said, I'm not like y'all. She was like, what do you mean? I said, it's different, because at a young age, I had this knowing You know, when you're a child, you just know things as good or bad. Mm-hmm. So from a child's perspective, I just knew when people were bad people, and I knew when they were good people. Mm-hmm. And then as I started growing into my teenage years, I could see a light over people. And it was at the age of 14, literally, my journey really started early. At the age of, I was very suicidal from the age of 10 to 13. That's when the first thoughts of suicide came to me. I actually took a half a bottle of Tylenol pills. And I remember waking up in the hospital and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm still here. But I was going through things. My mom CPS had took us away and we were with my dad and I really wanted to be with my mom. There's just a lot of things. Mm-hmm. We were going through abuse. It was like we were young children at 10 and nobody from 10 to 13, nobody was like, hey, we need to get these children some help. It was we were just being overlooked, like, oh, they're okay. You know, they switch us from one household to the next, and there was nobody was paying attention to us, literally. It was just kind of like, okay, just keep moving forward. It was like it was a normal for the adults. But I remember I fell into this deep place for it seemed like forever. But I was 13 years old sitting in front of a TV, 13 or 14, and I was sitting in front of the TV, and I had a knife in my hand, and I was ready to end it. I was like, how can the suffering, it was just overbearing. Literally, I can still feel it. It was just overbearing, and I just didn't want to be there anymore. And at that moment, literally, it was a loud voice. There was nobody in the house but me, because I got home before my sisters and brothers and my parents weren't there yet. And I heard this loud voice say, I cannot let you do this. I have great plans for your life. And literally, I was like, where did that come from? I turned my head around and I put the knife down, because the voice was soothing. It was a soothing voice that I could feel the concern for me. And I guess that's what I wasn't getting. But this entity, this voice, because I was a teenager, this voice was showing me what I wanted. I think what I wanted from my parents. Mm-hmm. It was what I was looking for, which was why I wanted to end my life in the first place. And at that moment, it was like I had this will to want to live. And I did. I hadn't thought about suicide till I got into my 20s. Mm. And so from that moment, then I met my husband in high school, my senior year. And they were into the Christian faith, Baptist Christian. And I had went through Catholic because my dad was Catholic. So I've experienced almost just about every religion. I went through Christianity. I was looking for something at a young age. Mm-hmm. When I was a Catholic, I was on a platform speaking to other youth. Mm-hmm. I had this knowing of this world that I hadn't really experienced, but I knew. Like, I knew what to speak about. I knew how to encourage people. I just had this knowing. And then as I was transitioning, it was like I would hear things, like hear this voice that would speak to me, that would tell me certain things, do this, do that, don't say that. And when I got into Christianity, the Baptist Christian, that's when they started talking about angels. Mm. And I was like, oh, those are angels that's speaking to me. And then, you know, with the teachings, I assumed, because I would hear different voices, so I assumed it was God and Jesus. I was putting titles, because, you know, we have to put titles to things. So I started putting titles to things, but that's what the teachings were teaching me. So I started putting titles, and then I've even seen dark forces. At the time, I knew them as demons. That's what we were taught. Mm-hmm. And so I was able to see it all. I was able to see aliens, literally aliens. Mm-hmm. Then there were animals, different pieces of animals mixed together. I think once I got comfortable with the voice that I was hearing, that's when it was like the veil was kind of like thinned out for me to be able to see into the spirit. Mm. And the interesting thing, though, because my daughter has experienced it, they frightened her. The veil was removed and they actually frightened her. But they didn't frighten me. The dark forces didn't. It was like I wasn't afraid. But I guess because I was already built up into the light, the angels, that I wasn't afraid because they had assured me that I was protected. It was like they were preparing me for the next phase of seeing. But I got comfortable with it, and it was like, it was real to me. And I didn't share it with anybody, so I didn't have to worry about anybody saying that it was I was hallucinating or I was imagining these things. Mm-hmm. So because I think my spirit guides really kept me from sharing it, because I think they knew that if I shared it, people were going to, you know, think I was crazy or different things. But I kept it, and I really befriended my angels. And it wasn't until about a year and a half ago that I came into the spirit guides. And that's when, but I transitioned out of religion. Mm-hmm. And just started my own. I started what I was led. There was a voice that came to me and said, okay, it's time for you to leave religion. It's time for you to leave the church. That's what I heard. The voice said, it's time for you to leave the church. Mm-hmm. And literally, I remember saying, Satan, getting behind me. I said it. Because when you're in a church, that's what, you know, you're taught that.
Right.
There is nothing else. That's all I knew. Like, you know, and when Jesus came to me and was like, it's okay. You're going to be okay. Mm-hmm. You're going to be okay. And I was really scared. It took me 2 months to leave the church. And I finally did. I was so scared I was going to go to hell, literally.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And I'm coming into other people that feel the same way. But I knew everything that I was going through, that I was going to go back. I knew that. I knew that I was going to go back and help those people transition. Because mm-hmm. My guide told me that. Just be okay. You're going to be okay. We got you. And I kept hearing that. I got you. You're going to be okay. Just keep moving forward. And I did. I chose the voice. I chose my spirit guide over my fear. And that's what helped me to really just transition. And the more that I was trusting them, the more information that they were giving me and the more comfortable I was with it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's all about really just trusting what you're hearing. Mm-hmm. And that's what I did. I just trusted. And they made it comfortable, too, for me to trust them as well. You know, if I got a little leery, they would back off. Mm-hmm. Or if I would say, hey, that's just too much. I've done that throughout my journey. I was like, hey, this is just a little too much. Can y'all give me a moment? Like, they really do. They don't force themselves on you. Mm-hmm. And that's what I love. It's, like, totally different from human beings. And that's what I love about the spiritual beings. They don't force your guides, they don't force themselves on you. Mm-hmm.
The last few minutes have gotten more chills than I have, I think, in any other interview, because I'm so resonating with everything that you're saying. And a thought that really came up too is with, like, the church, and this is not just Catholicism, this is every religion. It's a method of programming. Like,
yes.
It really is. And it makes it very difficult, like you said, for people to leave, because that's all you know. And there's so much fear-based teachings in a lot of these religions. Not all, but a lot. And
this is why we have to really, though, this is what I thought about. It's kind of like they take away your thinking mm-hmm. for you to think for yourself. And mm-hmm. once I started thinking for myself, because I'm going to be honest with you, even though I was in it, my guides were still telling me, don't listen to that. Like, they were really telling me. I knew that I had to go through that, because I also have, I guess the best way to say it is prophetic dreams. So mm-hmm. it's like I was shown things, like how I see things. I can see them visual, and I can also see them in dreams as well. So I was having a lot of dreams that were showing me, hey, this is what's about to happen. I had to interpret the dream. They weren't just, like, laid out for me. So I do have the ability to interpret things, mm-hmm. but I was shown that I was going to come out of that. But I was guided through the whole time that I was in a church. Literally, my guides were speaking to me. And it is, and I thought one of the thoughts that came to me, which really made me comfortable, I thought about, well, I was welcome. You know, when they bring it about, because before I got into church, it was like, hey, you know, the Christian faith, you know, God loves you and he wants a better life. And it was like, I was more, you know, you have the free will to do this. But when I got ready to come out, that free will was gone. No, you can't leave. And I was like, well, if something is not working for me, how can I not leave? Like, it just didn't make sense. So you're telling me that God wrote my life out for me to go to hell? I started questioning, and I started questioning my pastor. I started asking questions.
That's what's most dangerous to any institution, is an open mind and a free thinker. Yeah.
Yes, I'm a threat then. But you know what amazed me? I mean, most people don't know this, but when I went to my pastor and I started asking questions, he already knew it. Everything that I brought to him, he said he knew. He just couldn't tell the church. He couldn't tell the church. So many of them have no idea that their own pastors know what we know.
I have so many thoughts on just, especially there's an element of really giving your power away religion and how that's condoned, and how, you know, it is helpful to find a teacher in yoga. You know, you find a guru, like in many different traditions, there's a teacher, but they're not your savior in a way, like you're your own. And you can go to the ascended masters and your guides and angel realms or, you know, religious icons, but ultimately you have to walk through the door yourself. Yeah. And a lot of the institutionalized religions tell you, you can't do it alone. You have to follow these rules. You have to behave this way. Otherwise, it's not going to work for you. And a lot of those rules aren't necessarily made in your favor. They're made in their for their own financial gains or power, one of the two.
Control. Yes, it's control, financial. Yeah. But the thing is that we all, and I had this knowing, though. That was so interesting. It was like I had this knowing of what was going on, but I felt trapped. Mm-hmm. Like, literally, this is a whole topic. We can do a whole nother hour of that, because it's so much to it. And that's one of my teachings that I do teach, because I do help those who are coming out, because it's getting to a point where you can, once it's really time for you to go, there's nothing, not even your fear will be able to stop you.
Yeah. And I think it's amazing that you're kind of giving back to the community that you saw that you had trouble with.
I got a lot of backlash.
Oh, yeah. Well, because people are now like, oh, no, I have to think for myself. My sense of identity that's formed with this community is going to be ripped away. Like, there's a lot that comes up when you leave anything, whether it's religion or it's your, you know, field of career or whatever it is. Like, it's all this stuff that has to come up. And the real truth of it is, well, who am I really if I don't have this stuff anymore?
Oh, I got chills. Yes, that's exactly how I felt. That was the biggest transition of my life, leaving the church, because I was so into it. Mm-hmm. And my world crumbled. Everything. I had no idea. I didn't know if God was real. I didn't know if Jesus was like it. I questioned everything. I was lost, literally. I was stripped. When I left the church and I finally said I was leaving, I was stripped. I didn't know who I was. And I had no idea that my identity was in something totally different. Mm-hmm. But my world crumbled. I was angry. I stayed angry for a while. Not that long, because my guys was like, okay, that's enough. It's time for you. Come up out of that. We let you be angry enough. But I was angry. I went through every emotional. I cried a lot. They wouldn't let me slip into a depression, though. They was like, no, we can't let you do that. We understand that, you know, that was all you knew, because that was all I knew. And when you take away what you know, you have nothing. And I had nothing. And they were like, that's exactly where we want. So now we can give you the truth.
Mm-hmm. Which is really, you have everything and it's there. It's all there.
Exactly. Yeah. But it's walking through that little phase.
Yes.
Because it's little. It is a little phase. I mean, you just have to stay open. And my guys kept telling me to just have faith. One of the things, I was afraid to let go of Jesus. That was my thing. And so I said, okay, because I was taught, well, there was a scripture that said, go back to what you know. So I said, well, Yana, what is it that you really know? And I said, well, I do know that God is real. That's what I said. And that's where I started. My guys allowed me to start with that. I knew that God was real. And I said, if Jesus is real, that'll be proven to me. So it's always a logic to things. I just talked it out. I said, there's nothing wrong with me going back in order to move forward. So that's what I did. I said, okay, I'm just going to go back to what I know is real. And that was God.
Mm-hmm. And then in this process of really, okay, everything gets stripped away. This is really what a spiritual awakening is, like a real spiritual awakening. Like, everything gets stripped away. You really have this surrender moment. you pray because you're just, I don't have anything else and I need to know why I'm here, who I am. So right. In that process and you really working with your guides, one of the main reasons why I contacted you and why I found you was because actually on Instagram, there was this post about the Akashic Records. And for those people that don't know what that is, it's like, and you can explain this actually, like this library or database or tapestry of the fabric of everything that exists, all the knowledge is there. That anybody really, once they start to seek for that, if they really have determination, can go and visit and learn from with their own path, the world's path, whatever they need. And so you really started to get into that and you saw some amazing things. And you talked a little bit about this earlier because you were saying how you were transmuting not only your own trauma, but generational and ancestral trauma and past life trauma. And that really comes from the wisdom of seeing those things. So can you speak a little bit about that and your journey to really finding who you are and how you got really into that deeper place?
So my spirit guides led me to this guy, Feel Good. And when I started really coming into my awakening, I knew he was going to be one of my teachers. Mm. And it was just interesting how he knew a lot of the things that I had experienced. And one day he brought up this Akashi record. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting because I would have dreams about this Caucasian lady. And at first I thought that maybe she might have been my grandmother that was trying to reach out to me. Mm-hmm. But it just wouldn't sit with me. And she was in more than one of my dreams. It was a few dreams. And then I assumed it was a dream. And then, well, one day he started talking about the Akashi Records. And then when he started talking about what the Akashi Records was just what you explained, I realized that the lady that I was seeing in my dream was really me because I felt so connected to her, like she was me. But I didn't know anything about any of that. And then my spirit guides was like, just keep going. Sometimes, too, they won't just give you all the answers. They'll just tell you to keep going. My guys are really funny and very interesting. They do some interesting things. And so when he mentioned that, I was like, oh, I really want to know about my Akashi. I just made a statement. I really want to know what's in my Akashi records. And it wasn't too, because he did explain that, you know, you have to really want to know and not just be nosy because it's because of what's in the record. Mm-hmm. And once I got into the records, I understood why. So once I just made the comment, it was like this, I want to say a couple of days later, I had this knowing that I was a slave owner. Mm-hmm. And I was a Caucasian woman, but I actually I owned a plantation and I love the people. And I had such a love, and I couldn't understand why the other slave owners were doing what they were doing. And interesting enough, how did I come into this world as an African-American woman was because I saw myself on a rocking chair on the porch. And I said, if I had to come back, I really would like to come back as an African-American so I can really see what they go through.
Wow.
I saw myself making that comment.
Wow. This is amazing. There's this book called The Soul's Plan. Have you heard of it?
No, I haven't.
Oh, it's amazing. It's all about this. It's all about the blueprints that we decide for ourselves when we're on the other side. I've actually never heard of someone making that statement or decision while they're still alive, which is amazing. But it talks a lot about this. Like, it's called learning through opposites. Essentially, you pick a blueprint. Sometimes it's karmic. Sometimes it's to understand and have the compassion for whatever you did. If you were an abuser in a past life, you may come back and on a subconscious level before you incarnated, chose to find yourself in an abusive situation to learn what that was like on the other side. And, it's complicated because there's lots of different things that can tie into that. But it's amazing. I remember when I read that comment, I was like, this is powerful because that changes everything in the way that you see your life now and the way you probably see everything.
So have you heard of like the Pleiadians?
Yes.
And uh-huh. the Okay, so another record that I did get to tap into was that I was a Pleiadian on another planet.
This is so funny.
And I had a whole family.
I was going to ask you, I'm like, you're definitely a starseed. I was like, I knew that. Yeah. I was like, she's definitely not from here. And this is why she has the wisdom and compassion that she has, and also all these psychic abilities so quickly. And also why you have such an advanced soul blueprint in this life and in your past lives.
I did tap into the records. I was a Pleiadian on another planet. And let me tell you, that planet is so beautiful. It's completely like, it's nothing like this. The love and the, you know, there's no speaking. Everything is telepathic. It's just tapping into that. And I was like, wow. I asked myself, now, why did I sign up for planet Earth again?
Right. Yes. Yes.
Because they said this is the hardest test is the planet Earth. That this is the most rigorous testing. But I asked myself, like, why? Why did I sign up? And to be honest with you, before I found out about the starseed, there have been moments that my spirit guides had to stop me from leaving my body.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I started awakening, I didn't want to be here anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I was ready. And they were like, nope, you still have work to do. Sorry, we can't let you. Like literally, it's a contract. We can't let you out. No, you have a job to do. You have a mission to fulfill. I know you may not understand it now, but I don't know how. I just knew how to do it. I knew how to exit my avatar. I call it, my body is my avatar.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew how to do that. And, you know, once you experience these other experiences, you really do get to the point, okay, why am I here? But then I started having compassion for all the people that I knew that I was connected to, and that's what's really been keeping me. It's knowing that, you know, I'm on a mission and I have to finish this mission, and that I have everything that I need to finish the mission.
Mm-hmm. This is very starseed of you. Because yes. I'm definitely one myself. And I remember always never feeling like this is totally my home, and always just being like, I want to go.
Yes.
I want to leave. This is really too much. This is very intense, and I've had enough. And I ideally hope that this is the last round that I have to be here because I'm done with this. And then that's the beginning of it. And then eventually it got to the point where I'm like, I don't know, you know, what you feel, and I'd love to hear what you believe your mission is. But I really feel that starseeds, earth angels, people like this, like light workers, like their job is to anchor light into this planet and its people and help awaken the people that are totally asleep to their spiritual reality.
That's exactly what my soul mission is. I'm just learning. Well, I'm getting more into about the light, because for a while now, I've been noticing my connection with the sun, which was really interesting, because I would tell my husband, I could be beaming from inside, and the sun would, I don't care if it's cloudy outside, the sun would find a peephole and shine down on me. And one day I was driving, this is before I got into all this, and I was like, I said, babe, I feel like the sun is following me. Look at us. I said, it's just on our vehicle. It's nowhere else. It's shining on the vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
So once I realized that, you know, when I got into the starseed, it all made sense to me. I was like, this is all making sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not crazy, because for, you know, when you're awakening, there are moments you wonder, am I crazy?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And my spirit guides would come and say, no, you're not crazy. And then you wonder, am I by myself? But the further along I started getting, and now that I was like, man, it's a whole bunch of us. Oh, my gosh. I have a whole soul tribe out there.
Mm-hmm.
So once you come into it and you realize there are so many more people than just you.
Yes. You know, what's amazing when you're a star being is you also have a star family. It's not just your spirit guides here, but you have an entire family or guide, council, whatever you want to call it, of people that are there to assist you in your mission, because that's really ultimately why you kind of decided to come here. And that's a whole nother layer of waking up to a different reality. And let me just say, there's still a huge amount of people on this planet that don't even believe that there's other life outside of Earth.
Yes.
Which is like, where does that come from? It's social engineering. It's like these power systems that want us to remain suppressed. And I think it's conversations like this that ideally will open people up to be like, wait, what?
And to be honest with you, a lot of people suppress a lot of things because of what they're taught, because the inner being knows, but they suppress it because of what they're taught. And a lot of people are not willing to take that chance of being called crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So I find there are people that I've talked to, like my spirit guides would say, mention this. And they'll be like, oh my gosh, you know about that? I thought it was by myself. My spirit guides, they're so in tune, but they'll tell me, hey, mention, bring this up. And I'll bring something up. And some of them, I can tell they're hesitant. And so I start speaking about it a little more. And then they start opening up. And it was like, they're like, oh my gosh, I thought I was crazy. Because the people around them, a lot of people, and we know a lot of things, it's just listening to you, because your guides will tell you. Listen to your guides and say, hey, speak up on it.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be
mm-hmm.
sitting amongst each other. They have the experience. It's just a lot of people suppress it, or, you know, they brush it off or think that. I noticed that a lot of people connect everything to evil things, which is another form of programming. Mm-hmm. So when you start talking mm-hmm. about it, a lot of people do experience these things, but they just suppress it or they release it and just move on.
Yes, you're talking about essentially just anybody, like in any kind of form of divination or any kind of support, it's looked at by religions as the devil or evil or whatever. Yeah. And that's just a way of being like, suppress your gifts. Do not step into that space where you can have your own power and you can live your own life according to your own truth. Because then that takes us out of power, because now we're down one. And that's exactly what it's about.
Exactly. And that's what I want to speak about, your gift, because I do want to bring that up, because there are so many people that have the ability to see, hear, feel, and have this knowing. And that was one of the things, like I remember being able to hear at a very young age. And I know we call it clairaudience. So I mm-hmm. have all four, which is the clairvoyant, the clairaudience, the clairsentient, and the claircognizant.
Mm-hmm.
So the clairvoyant is, it's like a clear seeing. Like when I can clearly see things, I can see things before they happen. I can see your avatar, but I can also see what's in that avatar.
Mm-hmm.
So with clear seeing, and when I was in religion, it was kind of like frowned upon. Mm-hmm. It was almost made to me, like I was seeing a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And when I would mention it, it was like shut down. Even what I would hear. And, you know, I had to be comfortable and know that it was okay. Like, these are gifts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And before I really started learning the truth, I got to a point where I cursed. I almost cursed the gift. I was like, this is not a blessing
mm-hmm.
to be able to see these things, you know, and I had nobody around me to really explain what it was, and I'm able to see things and then see it and then it happened. That's mind blowing. Because
mm-hmm.
I had these gifts and I had no idea what they were. People started telling me, hey, you're a seer. And I was like, well, what is a seer? You're able to see in the spirit. You're able to see things that other people aren't able to see. And I've actually met people that say, you know, you have such a precious gift. But with that comes a lot of emotions as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then they all didn't come at one time. My clairaudience was the first thing. That came in first, which mm-hmm. was the hearing. Like I can hear my guides audibly. If your guides want to speak to me, I can hear them as well. I can hear like another person's guide speaking with my guide
mm-hmm.
and have a whole full conversation. So it's like I can hear... I'm going to use an example. Like, I'll do a YouTube video,
mm-hmm.
and mm-hmm. while I'm doing the video, although I haven't posted, I can hear what other people are saying before they say it.
Okay. This is what I love, because this is going to get a little bit trippy for people, but, like, precognizance and what you're talking about really comes down to the fact that time doesn't exist. And it's all happening now. The past is happening. It's the future and the present. Those are all simultaneously happening. But what you're doing with your gift is moving out of or tapping away from the fabric of the time, space, you know, three-dimensional reality that we're living in. You're moving into or shifting into or tapping into a higher frequency or higher dimension where you're not bound by that time, space, continuum. And then you see everything happening at once. So that's like, that's an amazing thing. And I remember the first time I learned about this, I was like, wait a minute, what? Like, so my past self, because I've had experiences too, where like, I'll go back and see a past life maybe on another planet. And then I had this thought of being like, so that was my past self eons ago, seeing my future self show up and ask if I can, you know, witness this moment. And it just blows my mind. I don't know if you get what I'm saying, but it's just...
I do.
Yeah, it's mind-blowing.
Well, now it's a new norm for me. It's a new norm for me. Sometimes, though, I have to shut it off. Mm-hmm. Like, if I'm in a setting and I just want to have fun, I do have to shut it off, because if not, I can go into a party, or if I'm going into an event and just everything just comes, the energy just comes rushing. And I have to tell myself before I walk through these doors, or even if I'm preparing, sometimes it's so strong that when I'm getting ready to leave my house, I have to say, okay, you guys, today we just going to have fun. We're going to shut this off, because there's some things that I just don't need to know about people. There's just, I have to do that. I have to shut it off. And I'm just learning to do that, actually. I didn't know that I could shut it off until I was just frustrated one day. And I was like, I don't want to know anything about that person. I don't even know them. I don't want to know anything about them. And I was able to shut it off. Wow. And then my guy said, oh, yeah, you didn't know. You have an automatic off and on switch. And I was like, well, thanks for telling me that now. Thanks for telling me that, but I do. I think the clairsentence is the feel.
Uh-huh.
That's one of the most amazing gifts. And what people don't know is that there are some of us that have the ability to feel what other people are feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, what is it, an empath? I think that's a better word for it. But it freaked me out the first time I actually shook this gentleman's hand, and I was able to feel what he was feeling, that I almost like pushed his hand away unintentionally. I didn't know what it was. And I was like, oh my gosh, it was overwhelming. And I'm like, well, what am I supposed to do with this?
Mm-hmm.
And so over time, after I realized, because, you know, I was just getting to know it. So it's like you get to know your gifts, and then my spirit guide would tell me how to use the gift. So like if I'm praying for someone, I'm able to tap into what they're feeling to help them release that feeling.
Mm. Yeah, that's powerful.
To give them comfort.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And at first it started where I'd have to be in connection, but now they can be thousands of miles away, and and I can send them whatever they need. And earlier today, I was able to, the energy has been so high that I knew I had to move it. And so my spirit guides would send me the names of people.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them I don't even know. Some of them I know, some of them I have no. He just send me names, and I just send either an energy of love, peace. I just send it out to them.
It's amazing. And it's funny when people don't believe in remote healing, because it's like energy is energy. The same way you make a phone call across the world, it's the same thing. Or across the galaxy, or across time.
We really don't need telephones. We don't need cell phones. Mm-hmm. We don't need those things.
Mm-hmm. Well, what is your opinion on, just really quick, because there's a lot of talk in the New Age community about essentially Earth ascending and moving from 3/4D into 5, which would be, or essentially where we would all have telepathy, we would all kind of fully turn on these gifts. The frequency would be much less dense. And what is your opinion on all of this, being that you do see things and you've been in the records and you see what's going on now?
Yeah. It's going to happen, and nothing can stop it.
Mm-hmm.
I am super excited, where people are freaking out and everybody's like, why are you so... I said, you guys have no idea what's happening. We have to understand, even in our life, things have to fall apart in order to come together.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like, oh my gosh, it's falling apart and I'm going to die. No, it has to fall apart to come together. So it's like the foundation is being rebuilt. Everything that's going on is with the government and all the things that's being exposed. It's all a part of New Earth.
Mm-hmm.
The cell phones, all that's going to be done away with. This planet will be a new Earth. Beautiful. Nothing like human beings have ever seen.
Do you think that we're going to be here? It'll happen in our lifetime? Or do you think it'll be in a few more years after that?
Well, I saw myself being here when it happened.
Okay. Yeah, because I've heard different things from different people. Some people are like, oh, it's going to be in, at least it's going to take over 100 years. I've heard people, it's like, it's going to be 2028 or something like that. And so I've just heard a lot of differing opinions. And it's interesting. It's like,
Maybe I'm going to tell you where the confusion may be coming in, because maybe the person that maybe they'll be transitioned sometimes, and maybe when they come back, it could be, it's kind of difficult when you're speaking because it depends upon the person. Mm-hmm. And like for me though, before I even knew about my mission or whatever, I saw it. I saw it and that I was here and the earth was changed. Mm-hmm. In religion, they call it Jesus coming back, but it's Christ consciousness. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of things that was taught that really my spirit guides interpret to me a different way. It was kind of like what they were saying. I understood what they were saying, but the way that it's interpreted. So they were saying it, but my spirit guides didn't interpret the way mankind interpreted. My spirit guides interpreted to me the way that it really was, with the way it's really going to happen. And mm-hmm. they showed me that I was here. And the interesting thing is that people don't know is that we're going to be start aging backwards.
This is the first time I'm hearing that.
So the age is going to keep moving. You know, you may be 120 years old, but you're not going to look 120.
With a lot of higher dimensional beings, they all say that this is the case. Like one life cycle span is like 400 years when you start to move up in frequency. So it's interesting that would kind of imply like we're moving up. But then there's this interesting thing that's happening where there's not everyone's going to come along for the ride. And there's this theory that there's going to be almost like this parallel or split earth or parallel dimension of like still earth in the 3D of people still doing their journey and things are going to be awful. And then there's the 5D where people are ascending and it's like glorious. What are your thoughts on that?
Yes, that's exactly what's going to happen. Mm. And even the people that's on 5D, because the people that's transitioning on 5D, 3D people are criticizing the people on 5D. I don't know if you've been paying attention. And it's kind of like the people in 3D are asking the people, or they don't know that they're on 5D because most 3D people don't know anything about that. Mm-hmm. They're kind of like, how come some of these people aren't speaking up for what's happening? Well, when you're on 5D, you really know what's happening, so there's no need for you to speak on a lot of these things mm-hmm. because all you're doing is adding energy to that. The people on 5D are focused on creating the new earth. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of like the split that you're seeing. Mm-hmm.
Well, this just brings up a question then. When you say they're creating the new earth, where's the line between not speaking up for things that are happening that are really unjust? There's so much heaviness with animal cruelty, with pedophilia, with children, with lots of things on the elite level of the global scale and corporations that many people really just don't even know about. And in some way, bringing people's awareness to this is going to spawn an awakening because they have to look at the aspects in themselves that they're uncomfortable with that reflects. And then it brings up a lot of other stuff for them. But where's the balance between doing that but not really going into or feeding that negativity?
Well, here's the thing. There are people that are set in place to handle every issue in this earth. Hmm. And sometimes we're drawn to things that takes our focus off of what we really should be doing. See, the thing is, we think that there is not enough people that's standing up for different things. But there, I call them guardians of the earth. Mm-hmm. There are, we may not know that because we're looking at it from our perspective and it looks like not enough people are standing up mm-hmm. and not enough people are doing. There are guardians that are handling. This is the unseen part that we don't see. Mm. Trust me, every issue that's going on in this earth, there are guardians that's handling the situation. And there are new people that's waking up that their mission is to assist in these different areas. This is why it's so very important when you wake up, when you're awakening, to know your mission and your purpose and where you belong. Because sometimes, like, it's kind of like the body. The hand cannot do the job of the foot. Mm-hmm. So if you want to, if you find yourself in it, I think it's more about visualizing what you want to see mm-hmm. and not being so caught up in that energy.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that can be the struggle, especially for when you just start to wake up and you're like, oh my God, this is like what you were saying, like this is the hardest planet. Like this is the crazy, like the most dense, traumatic, negative things you can imagine are here, but then also the most positive. It's like the duality is so strong here, it's unbelievable.
Yes, very, very. Mm-hmm. But as you awaken though, it's a part of the process. You know, you just have to find balance. Because there are some things that really just gets under me. And my spirit guides is like, uh-uh, don't get pulled into it. It's all working out. Mm. It's all working out. You realize and bring yourself back in, especially if you're around folks, then that's my challenge because I'm around people who wants to talk about certain things. And my spirit guides is like, no, don't let your energy go there. Mm. Or you find the positive in it. Then sometimes they'll just say, speak the truth. They may not receive it, but speak the truth. In this particular situation to bring a different energy.
This conversation has had so much wisdom in it and I just feel a lot of healing and connection from it, and I really hope that everybody else does too, because it's powerful and there's a lot of concepts that may be a little bit complex, I think, if you are newer to this journey, but just getting exposed to that kind of information starts to ignite it in you and then it really starts to light up. So how can people find you and how can people work with you?
Well, right now I am on Instagram. So you can find me at Yano Kelly Speaks on IG. And if you can DM me from there or you can email me at Miss MRS Yano, Yano Kelly, Kelly at gmail.com.
And what kind of work do you do with clients?
So because of my gifts, I do healing.
Mm-hmm.
I do something similar to Reiki healing. I know some people hear about that, but I don't apply all the things. Really, it's just more me transferring the energy.
Mm-hmm.
The way my guides use me, it's the easier process. Mm-hmm. So if you're transitioning, for those that are coming out of 3D into, and they know they need to be moving to 4D, I help people transition out of that. Well, I do counseling. It's wherever you are in your phase, I can't really pinpoint one thing that I do. I feel like I am that I am. That's how I feel. It's like there's so much because I've opened myself up to however I need to be used.
I just feel like the wisdom that you're giving is great. And I think also, especially when things really start to ramp up on the earth plane and get a little more intense, I feel like guidance and hearing that from you and people that have a broader perspective can be really healing.
Okay.
So thank you so much for coming on. This is amazing.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
So thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. If you enjoyed this episode and the last few, please make sure to subscribe to the Soul Awakening podcast. When you subscribe, you'll be notified of our new interviews and episodes that release once a week. You can find all of the episodes online on soulawakeningpodcast.com, on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, and pretty much all places where podcasts are found. And please don't forget to leave a review while you're there. Today's episode was brought to you by Audible. For the listeners of the Soul Awakening podcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download along with a free 30-day trial through visiting audibletrial.com/soulawakeningpodcast. Again, that's audibletrial.com/soulawakeningpodcast for your free audiobook. If you loved the information that you heard today and it sparked something in you, feel free to share this episode with your friends and your family as well. I'm your host, Kat Fowler, and thanks again for listening. I'm wishing you peace, love, light, and joy for the rest of your day. I'll see you on the next episode.